Greetings, I present to you the SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, at CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, online at cfru.ca, and live streaming on CFRU's YouTube channel. I am your Master Overseer, Nicholas Cooper. We will be looking inward and beyond at progressive rock, the branches of progressive, fusion, and alternative genres, a soaring anomaly, and other unique discoveries near and far. Join me as we gaze into the audible lens out of the diverse musical landscape on the ever-changing horizon. Welcome, my good sentries, to an audience in the Observational Tower, the music interview series I conduct here on the SMK, live on air at cfru.ca, on CFRU 93.3 FM, and currently live streaming on CFRU's YouTube channel. Today, in this live in-station audience edition, we are skewed to focus our gaze upon low kites. Hey guys, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Ooh, some little reverb there. Nice, I like it. Why don't you introduce yourselves and the instruments you will be playing for us today?
My name is Julian. I'm the singer and guitar player.
Hey, I'm Chris. I'm the backup vocalist and guitarist.
I'm adding them on the drums.
Excellent. Excellent. So I think a little special thing about you guys, I guess, the band started off in Cambridge, Ontario, but you guys are now spread out across Ontario. That's what I've been led to believe. Is that correct?
100%.
So yeah. Where are you guys coming from?
I'm from Mississauga.
Oh, yes, I'm Mississauga, too.
Yeah. I'm from Brampton.
I grew up in Mississauga, but I moved to Cambridge, and that's where we all started.
And I'm from Vaughan.
Excellent. So, did you guys find it all right getting here today?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Kind of icy, a little bit wet and snowy, but it wasn't bad.
Good. Before getting into the first musical segment, I think of something a little special. Why don't you each give me one brief summarization word to describe the band? And then after the music, we will, you'll explain to us why you chose that word.
I'd say family. I'll explain later.
I'll explain later.
It's, fast.
I was going to go with something similar. I was going to say paste.
Yeah, I was going to say just family as well, brothers.
Driven maybe too. I like that word.
Nice. All right, let's enter the musical segment. What songs will you be playing for us?
We're going to start off with Very, Very, Very and Deems Like It.
So for a recently released album, maybe it's because...
Oh, yes, excellent. Well, here's Low Kites here on CFRU 93.3 FM.
To hear you
change your mind.
That was Low Kites here live at CFRU 93.3 FM on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope. Incredible, guys.
Thank you.
Now let's get to why you chose the words at the beginning, at the before this segment, why you think that fits Low Kites.
Well, for my word, family, we've just all been there for each other through the good times and the bad times, and honestly, we always look out for each other in every way, and we've just built such a strong bond and relationship with each other over these past 3 years, and I don't know, I think it would just be hard to break, like, it. Just a family, the trust we have in each other.
Mm-hmm.
I chose fast because, I mean, for the most part, all our songs are fast. We never really play a slow song ever. But I think it just relates best to our energy, and even just energy outside of music. It's always just been go, 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 where we like to move, we like to dance, we like to do things. So it's even just relates back to our own personal lives.
I chose paced, but I actually like driven better because it just shows that we all have this mentality to just go forward. And I think that suits us well.
Yeah, I chose brothers for the same reason that he picked family. It was just like, it's been 3 years of constant weekends together and doing everything we know to, like, what when we go out, it's just all been experiences we've done together, just like brothers.
Yeah, that's incredible. So you guys have been together as a band for 3 years?
Yeah, we're just coming along that point.
Well, congratulations on that part.
Thank you.
How did the band come together 3 years ago?
Well, it all started out with me and Antonio. We started like a garage band when we were like 18. And I don't know, we went through a lot of stuff together trying to find musicians. But it never ended up working out until I go to Humber for architecture. And there was someone in my program that knew Ed, the drummer. And I was talking about it one day that, like, we needed a drummer and stuff, and He was like, oh, my friend plays the drums. Like, he's been playing the drums since he was like a kid. Like, his mom literally like made him train. He's classically trained and everything. So I met Ed on a coincidence, and we really liked him. Like, we started making music with him, and he knew Julian through they go to the same program at Ryerson Creative Industries, and it just blossomed from there. Like,
yeah, basically.
Yeah, it was just one rehearsal, one jam session that we knew right after that that this is what we this was the band.
Yeah.
Awesome, and so that's so like I guess the schoolings you've been in. We're in Toronto, but how does Cambridge come into...
Oh, because I had moved to Cambridge, and, like, the first place we all started getting together was Cambridge. Like, that's one of the spots.
We always used to rehearse at his house, and that's actually a lot of where our writing process took place when we first started, because we like to get away from the city life more out here, and it was, like, we just had time to focus on just the music rather than all the busy things that are going around and in Toronto, you know?
Yeah, it can be hectic in the big city.
Yeah, and I think just like getting out of that environment for the first time, Cambridge was like the first place we all kind of settled down and realized this is where we're going to make our music.
We played our first show actually in Cambridge. So.
Yeah. We played at the Royal Canadian Legion. We played for some seniors. We rocked the house.
It was good though. They enjoyed it.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they loved
They were kind of scared a little bit at first. But after they got into it, yeah.
So I haven't been really in Cambridge before. I like to get from where I am to KW, Kitchener-Waterloo, the GO bus goes through Cambridge. So what is like the Cambridge like music scene, and how do you guys...
Well, there isn't really a music scene, but they just kind of have music promoters who put shows on once in a while, and we're lucky that we got approached. Through just a coincidence, I guess, they came across us online. Yeah.
There actually used to be a place called Kiwis that was like downtown, what is that, Galt?
Yeah.
Downtown Galt. And we actually used to go there all the time to see bands play, but it was like just cover bands. There wasn't really like much of a music scene. Mm-hmm. But those are when we had the best nights, honestly, going out to like check out some local bands, getting to know the people from the city and stuff. But Cambridge is like lovely environment. Like, honestly, I'd like to probably move there one day. It's a really nice town. It's a really nice city.
A lot of college kids, too, like, coming from outside. I guess not like university kids, like, coming out from outside of Guelph and Kitchener and stuff like that, too. So, yeah, it's pretty, some of the bars and things like that, it gets pretty youthful and whatnot.
Or what are the big, like, what's the go-sees in Cambridge?
Like, the badger
the Black Badger. It's a bar that we always go to, but honestly what changed my life coming to Cambridge is that there's like this Rockton World Fair that's like, I think it just happened like a few weeks ago, but honestly the fairs were incredible. Like, even just seeing that whole atmosphere, I'd never even seen cows before then. I don't know, like, it's pretty cool. Like,
it's like a town fair with different attractions coming through, or
there's even car like derby, roller derby, like the cars just demolition derby. And that's awesome. Like, there was literally like a whole football stadium filled with people, like, just coming together as a community. It's incredible to see, because in Mississauga and like the GTA, you're seeing that less and less. Like, as I've been growing up there, you start seeing that less and less. Like, people don't even say hi to each other walking by on the street.
No one knows each other in the neighborhoods. Yeah.
So it's just an incredible sense of community in Cambridge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. So now you guys are kind of in separate cities now? Mm. Does that distance, I guess, from the words that at the beginning that you described, that doesn't affect the band at all? Right.
At first, like, I don't know, I think the distance, not being able to see each other that often, like how we do in like summers, because that's when we first started the band. It was like throughout the summer, and we went from like seeing each other every day to like just learning how to be by ourselves, like, and just do our own thing. And then as we said, like every weekend we'd meet up together. So honestly, it didn't really feel that distance because the time that we spent together was like, I don't know, it was worth looking forward to after the whole week of whatever you've been through, you know?
So Low Kites, where does that name come from? How did you guys think that up?
It was just we saw a sign that said Low Kites and
we were at Walmart.
We're at Walmart.
We like going there sometimes because it's just really bright in there, so it's pretty cool. So we would just walk around and
the kites were on
the
sale.
Kites were on sale.
No. Oh,
so he was like
kites low for the kites. Lows.
And the name stuck.
Any interesting kites that were on sale then?
I think we just left right away and we're like, that's the band name.
I saw a cool one the other day, actually. Not the other day, it was actually a couple months ago. But it was a giant dragon kite. It was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some of those flying around.
Crazy.
Haven't flied a kite in years.
I've never done it before.
I used to fly them back when, like, I'm from Chile. So when I was a kid, like, I didn't really fly them myself because I was too young. But my older brothers, I remember we always I used to watch them and, like, admire them. But then when I was old enough to, like, fly them, they'd always get, like, stuck in trees because I didn't have the experience.
Oh.
So maybe that's another little, like, low kites. I don't want to get stuck in a tree, you know? So.
Kites that don't work.
So you describe low kites, your music, like, online. Describe it as shoegaze new wave band. I can certainly hear shoegaze, but not a lot of, I guess, I haven't seen a lot of bands use new wave in quite a while. Why do you feel new wave fits your description?
I feel the new wave fit the best because you kind of, like, in the same way that you're saying that you haven't really heard it, it's, you kind of can't pinpoint new wave. So I felt like it just left a lot of room to explore different styles and different sounds and even different rhythm patterns. The shoegaze kind of pigeonholes you a little bit. Like, it kind of puts you in a specific, I guess, realm. So I felt like new wave was just easier to branch out a little bit.
Also, like, with our first album more than this album, a lot of people, like, used to always say, oh, you guys sound like 80s, like The Cure and, like, this and that. Like, so I don't know, I guess that's also where we got that from.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Actually, that leads into my next series of questions, what your musical influences are. I guess we can talk individually and then how your influences mold together into the band.
Mm-hmm. Influences would definitely be like bands like Dive, Beach Fossils, The Cure, New Order, Joy Division, like all those classic 80s bands too. But then it could even go into like other bands like Mets and things like that. And we gain a lot of, even though sonically we don't, I guess, imitate them, but I guess in the energy and in the, I guess, yeah, we just take like little things from them and apply them to our own music. I can't think of anybody else.
A part of that, when we all came together and met each other, it was like the first time meeting someone who had the same music taste. So I would say across the board, we all pretty much are into the same bands.
Basically, when we were looking for new musicians, we were like, they have to like Dive, they have to like Beach Fossils. So Julian fit in perfectly there, like he had no issues. But also the fact that like 3/4 of us are Spanish as well, we like to take some influence from like Spanish music. 100%. We like to get people moving and dancing because like, we love doing that too. He also plays salsa sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So because his father is like a percussionist.
It's been in my blood and ever since I was super young, I've been listening to salsa music, so that always comes into play too.
And we've also slowly been converting Ed, even though he's Vietnamese and Chinese. We always take him to like, there's this Latino mall in by like Scarborough,
like North York.
Yeah, we grew up going there and we've been taking him there to eat like Spanish food and just indulging him in the culture, you know.
He even orders by himself now,
so. He orders in Spanish now.
Oh, nice. What kind of musical elements from like Spanish background?
Sure, it's rhythm. I think rhythm and bass. I think like that, those are the most influential when I think about like what I relate to Spanish music. It's for sure in like the little rhythm changes and like certain accents here and there that'll definitely come from that. For the most part, we even have a couple Spanish lyrics here and there, so that comes from that too. But for the most part, yeah, from like salsa music and even just Latin, like Latin music in general, it's definitely the rhythm section that I get inspired from.
Yeah, awesome. I guess talking about maybe childhood, like, upbringing. When did you, maybe each of you can talk about how music entered your lives and how you got into each of your instruments.
Sure. Ed, do you want to start?
Yeah, so mine was quite different. So when I was younger, I used to be a Vietnamese child performer. And then from there, I started doing more like classical training with drums. I even did marching band for a long time. And then I ended up going to an art school. And from there, right after graduation is when I met these guys and we got together.
Mine started, I picked up piano when I was about 4 or 5 years old. And then I just was playing classical piano. I was doing the whole exam thing and everything. And then when maybe I was about like 12, 13, I picked up a guitar. And then I just started writing my own music from there on the guitar. And then I still play piano here and there. I don't do it anymore as much as I should. Honestly, I should though.
That would add like a big, I think, more range to your music.
For sure. And it's definitely like things I'm thinking about now. But then I just picked up bass along with guitar a little bit. And that's for the most part, that's kind of like my musical journey. It's always just been like learning more, picking up more instruments and then applying them to my own writing and even taking other techniques and things like that.
He actually used to have a man bun and play classical guitar.
Oh, yeah.
I always make fun of him.
Yeah.
But me personally, I...
Chris used to have frosted tips.
Yeah, I used to have frosted tips. But I'm proud of that. I'm still proud. I kind of want to dye my hair again. But when I was growing up, my cousin always used to show me like metal bands. And actually for my first communion, my aunt gifted me a Squire Mini. A red guitar.
Oh.
And I always used to pretend to like be like Linkin Park or like I don't know. Like he'd show me like bands like Coheed and Cambria. I don't even know if you ever heard of them.
No, but, I have.
Yeah, Alexis on Fire, all that stuff. He used to show me all that good stuff. Even like Gorillaz and stuff. But I never actually started getting into the guitar until I was like 15, 16. And I actually learned, like I've never taken any like lessons. I learned by ear, so like I just learned how to read tabs, and I used to like just use my acoustic guitar to like try to impress girls, like play like Justin Bieber songs, like the first songs I learned. But I actually remember even when I got my acoustic guitar, I was like 12. I got it for Christmas, and I was like so disappointed when I opened the box because I thought it was gonna be like something I really wanted. But my dad got me a guitar, but honestly, it ended up like making me who I am today, so I really appreciate it. And I don't know, I just started getting into more music hanging out with Antonio. I mean, he used to hang out all the time. He used to show me all these cool bands, and we started going out to Toronto and just like seeing a lot of live shows.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's lots of more shows there compared to Mississauga. Yeah. I feel,
and even meeting some artists, like we met some artists along the way, like it's just inspired me to like want to strive for that.
For me, I got into bass pretty much. My dad had a bass always lying around the house. And it came to a point when I was like in elementary school and they were just putting together a little garage band, but they had no bass player. So I stepped up and kind of taught myself along the way, took a few lessons, and here I am now just playing bass with these guys.
Fun fact, Antonio actually used to be the drummer of Low Kites before he was the bassist, but he sucked. So we had to switch him up quick.
Or you can have dual drums.
Yeah. That would
be
sick.
A little idea there. Why don't we go into the next musical segment?
Sounds good.
What songs do you have planned?
So next we got Assessment, and then we have Golf and Sediction, all off of the new album, Maybe It's Because.
Excellent. Here is Low Kites. Here on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, and live streaming on CFRU's YouTube channel.
We'll be right back.
Can we move into the talking? Yeah,
we're just having some technical difficulties.
No, I'm not fixing it. Let's just go.
All right. This next one's called Sediction.
Ready?
Yeah, let's just go.
All the mass things that happen to you.
Where crime is a part of the culture, and this is the only way to keep us through. Es justo saber lo que hacer.
That was Low Kites live here at CFRU 93.3 FM. So was there a little instrument issue at the one point there?
Yeah, Julian strapped, he snapped the string.
Oh.
It happens too often, honestly.
Yeah, we're used to it.
All right. Or was that from playing too hard?
Honestly, I'm not 100% sure. It's just that I get right-handed guitars and make them left-handed, and I just think they never sit well 100%. So I think they just snap because the guitar just isn't meant for it. But it definitely is a part of me playing too hard, though.
Okay,
it's a passion, and because it's a right-handed guitar. So he's a lefty, so he had to switch it over himself.
Well, I guess left-handed guitars are kind of rare.
So rare. At least nice ones. At least the ones that I want, you know.
It must be a little expensive as well.
Yeah, kind of. Honestly, yeah. They charge a lot more for the left-handed guitars than they do for right. I don't know why. I don't know what makes a difference, but I guess it's the concept of making them itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So with these songs, why don't we talk about your songwriting process? How do you compose the songs together?
So for these ones, they were all recorded as demos in my basement, and then I send them out to everybody, and everybody kind of makes of it of their own and what they want to make it, and then we come back and we kind of make it a full song, add whatever verses we need to or whatever extra parts, and then from there we ended up recording it in my basement as well. Everything just got done there and then released. Yeah.
I think the idea behind that, this EP, the one that we just did, is that the songs are so short because we just wanted it to be a quick listen, you know, give people a little taste of what's mm-hmm. to come, show them the energy, especially since we're going to probably be an opening band, always opening for people. We don't have people, no one's going to know us ever. So just giving them something quick that they can get into fast.
For sure.
I got to look more positive than that, though. Come on. You guys are great.
Thank you.
So, Julian, you're like the main composer then?
For the most part, yeah, I would say. I mean,
100%, yeah.
So what are some of the, like, maybe the topics that you sing about?
Topics that I sing about? I sing about a lot of, honestly, it's like personal things that I make not so personal so that then others can relate to them. But it's I try to keep around themes of like, just around even like self-discovery and things like that and learning about yourself and then like even personal reflection on your own life and things like that. And I do a lot of my own reflecting when I'm not speaking to people or not around people. Honestly, I'm in my head a lot, so I find that I write lyrics that kind of would make me really, really think about who I am and who I can be and who I used to be and who I should be, things like that, and then I apply them into my lyrics.
And like the other guys, like, support the ideas that you bring forward?
For the most part, I mean,
I think we're like the number one fans of anything. I'm like driving around listening to the songs all day, like singing along the lyrics. I ask him for the lyrics, so I know the lyrics, and I sing along to it in my car and stuff.
But yeah, I think just the lyrics in general, like, they settle with all of us. Like, we all find our own way within those lyrics.
Yeah, I do my best.
Because it's not even just necessarily everything to do with him. It's like everything surrounding him too, so I'm sure he involves us also in certain aspects of writing his lyrics.
100%.
Now the question that I've been asking, that I've brought up before the interview, so like you did say, your songs are pretty short.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why you keep the, like, it's like a maybe 2 to 3 or 4 minutes long durations?
It's a few little things, actually. So when they first came out as demos, all the songs were like no longer than like a minute. And they were just basically like intro, verse, chorus, and then maybe like a bridge or something, whatever I could figure out, and then an outro. And then I would send them that, and then we had intentions of making it bigger, but a lot of the songs ended up staying the exact same way because we felt like it just worked out that way, that they've sounded best. And then like you said, we wanted to keep it a short EP so that it was a quick listen for people to, I guess, access, and it was easily accessible and just easy. And I also wanted people to listen to the whole album as a whole as opposed to listening to it as individual songs. I felt like it's actually best as a whole, even when you're listening through the transitions and from song to song. I feel like it flows best that way. So
the new EP, like, you have the songs pretty much flowing from one another. There's no breaks in them. Do you also feel that the songs drive, like, the point, like, right away? It doesn't need that, like, an extra 5 minutes of a song?
Yeah, honestly, I kind of like that it's to the point. I like that it's very blunt, and verses basically come pretty quickly, and then they go pretty quickly. So I feel like it's something for, like, I want it to be a thing where people go back and listen to it and try to grasp it again, and they're like, whoa, that was so fast, let me go again, you know what I mean, and take another listen and go through the EP and even try to decipher the lyrics and things like that and try to break it down. I want it to be a listen, you know. I don't want it to be like, I like this one song off that EP, you know. I want it to be a cohesive piece.
Yeah, that's pretty smart, actually, especially in this day and age of like Spotify and just listening to one song at a time.
100%. Also, like, the first 30 seconds of a song is what captivates people's attention. Because past that, like, if a person doesn't like it or isn't feeling it, they'll just change it. So, like, I feel as though, like,
you start the songs, like, really strong.
We get into it, like, right away, you know, rather than, like, building up to it.
So let's get into I guess you've released a few studio albums, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we got two and then a single, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have here the first EP from 2017, Sounds of Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We had just met each other, and that thing came out maybe three, 4 months.
We wrote the entirety of that album in, I think, less than a week.
It was right before our first show.
Right before our first show at the Royal Canadian Legion. And we also, we recorded that live off the floor. So, like, we just played it all once through together, all recording at the same time, rather than, like, doing it take by take.
It was also, was it also like a simple like recording setup then?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, even the songs itself are pretty simple. We didn't have to really add extra things. We didn't have to, like if any there was any tone changes, it'd all be done through pedals and things like that. So for the most part, it was pretty easy to record.
Also, another little fun fact, one of those songs we wrote on there, it literally took us 5 minutes to write. I won't say which one, but...
Are you leaving it up to to find out?
I'll leave the ambiguity there.
You could probably tell.
I don't think they could tell. I think that's like one of our more popular tracks, I think.
All right. Also, a neat fact that I found through the Bandcamp page, that it was recorded reel to reel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why that, and how did you have the material for that?
We were fortunate enough that Antonio's dad had a friend that owns a studio in Hamilton. It's called Blue Tilt Studios, and the engineer is Danny Zivkovich. And
he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he was just really kind. Like, he helped us out a lot because we didn't have the financial means to be like paying that much for it. And he helped us out in a time that I think he really vibed with our music and like enjoyed it as well. So he enjoyed working on the project as well. But he has a really cool setup. Like, he has everything there. Like,
he was just an old school guy who wanted to do it the old school way.
Yeah, 100%. He was very much in his old school.
And I think the whole operation of it and how we started is exactly how it needed to be done. Just live off the floor and...
For sure. Especially because the songs are written in rehearsals and us just literally playing the songs. So I felt like it was best to capture those songs that way too.
So it must also have an analog kind of feel to it. 100%.
Then. You hear the hissing. Yeah.
It's all over the place.
Well, I'll have to look back. I'll listen back to those then.
Yeah. We never even got those mastered. Just straight up mixed. Because we were really inexperienced. I don't know. We were just trying to get our music out for people to...
Yeah, I understand that.
...to hear it. But... yeah, the second time around now for this album, we actually got it mastered. It's a really cool dude from Brampton.
So were you able to get that?
Hamilton, no?
Oh, he's from Hamilton, I think, actually, as well. Sorry.
So you're able to get in that studio time pretty much, like, free?
With our first EP?
Yeah.
With our first EP, not free, but it also wasn't costing us an arm and a leg.
It didn't cost us what recording analog should cost.
Yeah. So,
he was just really reasonable with the pricing. Yeah, 100%.
Well, that's awesome. What are some of the, well, I guess it was you guys starting off writing together. What are some of the songs on that EP that you still like to play a lot, or what's your favorite track off it?
We always go back to Short String. We always go back to that one, but I think we can all say Death by Surf is one that we like too.
Yeah, or Rain Sun.
Rain Sun, yeah.
That one's fun to play.
What are these songs like about?
I don't know. Honestly, I used to be the singer of the band.
Oh, so the lead singer?
The lead singer. So I used to write the lyrics mostly. But it was honestly just mostly reflecting on the past year that led to that moment of us making that album. So it was just a lot of nothing, a lot of... I don't know, just experience we'd gone through together. And I don't know, I was just trying to express myself and put it out there in a form that people could relate to it as well. So I wanted to generalize it a bit more as well.
And it was just an opening statement for you guys.
Kind of, yeah.
To get stuff out there.
Sure. We felt like if we were going to actually take this serious and play shows, that we needed something to show for it. And that's exactly what was our focus right from the start, is to put something out there.
Yeah, a good example for promoters and venues and stuff like that, and the listeners as well.
For sure.
Then, I believe at the end of last year, you released a single.
Yes,
And actually it was... No, I think it was... Okay, sorry, no. So we'll talk about the single first. Together, also on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
It's on all platforms, actually.
Yeah, actually.
We have all their music on all platforms, like Spotify, Apple Music, and stuff.
Yeah, good. I always like to go to Bandcamp, though, for me personally, because it also just helps, the artist directly.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's good that you have the other platforms as well. Mm-hmm. So what's Together about?
Together is solely about being together as a band. And I mean, just like even the concepts itself, like it's... It's pretty transparent in terms of it being like about a band. You can even hear that it's about noise and things like that, and you know. But it really is just about us specifically. I mean, it's kind of like our I don't know, like in Tokyo Police Club, how they even say Tokyo Police Club in some of their songs and things like that. Like, it's kind of that similar concept. And okay. We're just basically putting out a song, literally saying this is who we are.
And I guess it was more, well, like probably a year after the first EP, so you guys are more tight?
For sure. We definitely built more of a chemistry from then. And at that point, I think we had established even who we were as a band and what we wanted out of it, so...
Yeah. If you hear the lyrics, I think it's also just about how we feel about each other, like bringing up the thing about brothers and like family, just how much we care about each other in general, and what we do for each other. It's just a primary example.
So sweet. So I guess now I can say I think it was only. Antonio can help me with this. We met at the beginning of 2019 this year.
Yeah, I'd say so, around that time. I started helping out here at the station as much as I could.
Yeah, and then you helped me with one of the beginning on-air performances that I was hosting at that time.
Yeah.
And that's when you told me about your band, Low Kites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're so grateful that you have us on here.
Yeah, honestly, thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
Well, no problem. I enjoy your music a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, so there was that. And then you released your current EP, Maybe It's Because.
Yeah, shortly after that.
Yeah. Where does the title Maybe It's Because comes from? It's kind of weird, actually, to be honest, say.
I think we were just having a conversation. I think we were just talking, and I think it was Antonio who actually mentioned Maybe It's Because. Oh, no. I don't know. We were saying
I think
something.
It just comes from the general idea of, like, whenever people have excuses,
exactly.
It's like, it's because this, or maybe it's because that. Like, so, I don't know. It's a pretty common term that people use, I guess.
Yeah, like, when you ask someone for some advice, everyone's got, like, their own opinion, you know? So it's kind of just, maybe it's because... they have their own opinion about what this album is.
Or maybe it's because they don't know. I don't know.
When they don't know the lyrics, you know, they tell each other, maybe it's because, you know, so it's kind of like the, I think it made sense even with the titles of the songs being like super random. And I think even like with little word plays here and there, like deems like it, like it was originally supposed to be seems like it, but then, you know, I had a little typo error and then I just kept it. So.
Well, I was wondering actually for... Yeah, that song, What Deems Means.
Yeah, but then I liked it because it also, like, you could deem something to be, I guess, something, I guess, if that makes sense. You can deem it, right? So if it deems like it and it seems like it and it kind of was like a little bit of a wordplay. A
little crash there.
Sorry.
It's all right. So how did the recording for this EP contrast with your first one?
It's a lot different.
Yeah, the first one, we honestly, like, I think it was a weekend we spent there in Hamilton from, like, we'd spend, like, 12 hours a day there at least. Just, like, a lot of it was Danny, like, mixing. Like, because it didn't take us long to record it since we did it live off the floor. But the second album, it took a lot longer. We took our time with it. And it was all recorded in Julian's basement.
Yeah,
so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, like, it was a lot of me sitting there mixing, listening to the tracks, and it was a lot of that. And it, honestly, it was a learning process too, because I'd never really, I guess, fully done an album that way, like even mixed it and recorded it and things like that. Like, for the most part, like even with the last one, Danny mixed it for us, so it was definitely a learning experience. It took a long time, but it was worth it though.
It was more DIY this time.
100% DIY.
All DIY.
Yeah, and it felt less rushed. You know, like, I guess since we were trying to get our music out as fast as possible with Sounds of Saturday, there could have been some things we could have done differently, but we learned from those experiences because that was our first time around, right? So the fact that this one actually took over a year for us to release anything new, it's just we matured as well with our sound and everything. It gave us the time to do all that.
I guess, yeah, going back to the song titles, some of them are... interesting as well. And maybe if you want to go through maybe a summary of each song.
All right. So Very, Very, Very. That one was just named, just, I don't know, most of the names are just thrown out there, like just something I could think of on the spot when I was writing the demos. For the most part, the songs stayed from the demos, so I just kind of left the names too. It felt like it was working. But that one, the lyrics are kind of about, they kind of talk about, I don't really want to.
Oh, you don't want to expose.
I just want people to be able to interpret it as much as they want to, but it seems like it's like two people talking, even one person talking to somebody and just telling them about like when you realize what the world is going to be like in front of you, things are going to be different.
Another thing I'd add is that, honestly, from like personal experience, even seeing him work on these things, like a lot of the song names are just him typing in like whatever the first thing that came to his head.
When I'm going
to
save it?
Or just... Yeah, before he saves it. And that's a lot better than even sometimes when I come up with ideas, I just do like ASDJH or whatever, you know? Like I just scramble on the keyboard. But at least he comes up with like little words or sentences or something. Yeah.
Well, some titles are hard to find or it's hard to think up. And then just first thing come out of your head, it could be the best thing ever.
For sure. I mean, that's kind of the way it went over here. With Deems Like It, Deems Like It is just... I reference like family members in that one, saying mother and father and your brother and things like that. So it's just more about like, it was more about me just kind of looking at things in my life and then like, you know, my own family and, you know, even like other members' families and things like that. And then like, but it then really just kind of leaving it open so for the listener to interpret themselves. I mean, yeah, like I said, for the most part, that's the way lyrics go. With assessment's about a self-reflection of things that I was thinking up of, in that time of my life, just like even All Alone or Not Yet Known, things like that are just like just thinking about who I am. And for the most part, it's a big self-reflection album. Golf is about
playing golf.
I mean, yeah, sure, if
that seems explanatory. Actually, that's one of my favorite songs off the EP.
Thank you. Yeah, that one's just about being big. It's just about like I wanted a song that felt big, so even the lyrics are just about being big, you know, seeking your own land and things like that. And then Sediction, it actually came after there was a show that got canceled, and so I was kind of a little bit upset about that. So I wrote Sediction from there, but the lyrics don't 100% reflect that, but it was just more of the energy itself. That's where I took that inspiration from. Jury's about a lot of people tell me that they see it being about like a relationship and things like that, but I really didn't see it that way when I was writing it, but I guess you could interpret it that way. So Jury's about a relationship, which we're going to play next, and then after that is Time Out.
That's our single,
yeah.
We actually have a music video for that too.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What's in the video?
Visuals.
Honestly, it's a bunch of our Snapchat stories or videos we have of each other throughout the past couple of years.
Times where we should have taken a time out.
We have like a whole compilation. It's just like a compilation video. It's pretty funny.
And then one song that we aren't playing today, but is on. Oh no, two actually. There's Maybe, and then that one is about
self-titled.
Yeah, kind of a similar idea to a Jury. Like people can interpret it that way, but for the most part, I tried to leave it pretty open. And then Trip is just a song about tripping out, just you know, enjoying the things that you do, and then you know,
indulging in it.
Yeah, overindulging sometimes.
Yeah, it's about like it's kind of like your own conscience speaking to you about your indulgence and things like that, and how you should not necessarily telling you how you should conduct yourself, but just more your own conscience telling you to look at yourself. But yeah, it's basically about it.
Awesome. Thank you for going through that.
Yeah, no problem.
I think we're getting close to the end for this audience in the observational tower. Do you have any upcoming events, releases coming in the new year or even
nothing
the rest of this
moment.
Year?
Nothing at the moment, but...
Nothing planned yet, but we're working on new tracks, hopefully bringing them out soon. We're going to probably release another EP. I'm not going to set a date, but we're just working on new music. But I think we're going to take a little time from playing live shows for a little while just to focus on that. But we're planning some big stuff.
Ooh, exciting. Well, I thank you guys for coming in for this little live session.
Thank you.
Is there anything else that you want to mention before your last segment, musical segment?
I'd actually like to personally give my, like...
Shout out?
Give a shout out or just to Chile, everything that's going on over there, because I'm Chilean. And there's some pretty corrupt things going on over there, and just for the people to stay strong and fight for what's right.
And enjoy.
Yeah. Vamos Chile, vamos.
Is there any last words of wisdom you want to share?
Viva Chile.
Last words, yeah, you know, we'll leave it at that, sure.
All right, excellent. So what are the songs you'll be playing for us to end off this segment?
So the last couple songs that we're going to be playing are going to be Jury, Time Out, and Together.
Excellent. Thank you, Low Kites, for coming on the SMK.
Thank you for having us.
This is Low Kites here on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope on CFRU 93.3 FM.
I thought it was for you. when you lose your fortune. I hope you see him through. They're all still here for me as long as I am here. So don't keep talking. So don't keep
I want to thank you guys all for listening. We are Low Kites, and this Lang song is called Together.
Thank you.